Hey everybody, it's Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're doing the amusement park one, right? The
Georgia Yeah. Road. Yeah.
I gotta be honest, man. When this came on, it was so kind of, to me, it seemed like such a downer. I didn't want to see it.
It was a downer.
I was like, man, it's about getting old and all these old people and shit. And I was just like, oh, I don't know about this, man. Like, when you get as old as me, you don't want to think about it. You know, you're like, oh, no. How old you can get and how you just become fucking obsolete and people forgetting about you. And they were showing people, like, in the bumper cars, and the old lady gets out, you know, the bumper car, you know, she's getting accused for causing an accident. She goes, how old are you? And she goes, I'm 65. And I'm looking at her and I go, that's 65? Fuck. It had to have been a lie. She looked like she's about 85.
Although old people looked much older back then.
Like, right. She looked like she's about 85. Yeah, back in the 70s, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I didn't really know. It's really weird because I didn't know what the backstory of this was. I just thought it popped up on Shudder, and literally all I knew about it was they said this is a movie that was made by George Romero, directed by George Romero back in 1973, and it was thought to be lost because it had never been shown anywhere. But I guess they found it, like, and the George Romero Foundation... in cahoots with, like, some other, like, restoration, they actually restored it, you know, as much as
Barely.
It can be restored. Well, yeah. As much as it could be restored, yeah. Because, and I think it says at the end that the only print they found of it was, like, a really shitty one.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you can't polish a turd. Well, you can, but you know what I mean? They showed that on Mythbusters, that you could polish a turd. But I'm just saying that you can't, like, something that looked this bad, you know, there's only so much you can do. So it looks decent, but it still looks like real low budget.
The thing is, the color looks very faded in it.
Yeah, it's real washed out.
And it's
not in 4:3 aspect ratio. Yeah. It's not like in a film.
Yeah, and it's not real sharp. The images are not real sharp.
So the backstory behind this was, in 1973, George Romero, of all people, got commissioned by, it was kind of like it was some kind of religious organization, like the Lutheran something or other. And they wanted to make essentially a PSA about elder abuse, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was their idea to make it like a movie or like a story that was like supposed to convey this idea, but, or if it was George Romero's idea, but it's like George Romero was probably not the best person to give a project like this too, because even though it does come across like a PSA from the era, it also comes across like a surrealist nightmare, which they should have expected, really.
Yeah, almost kind of like Black Mirror or Twilight Zone, something like that. Like I said, I wasn't really trying to focus in on it too much. Once I realized that it was, I just wasn't in the mood for it to get depressed over downer movie.
Yeah, because this is pretty
depressing. I was like, this is going to be depressing, man. And they're doing it on purpose.
Well, yeah, because they wanted to get across, because there's even, like, at the beginning and the end, the main dude that's in this is, I can't remember the actor's name, but he's the same guy that played the uncle or the granddad or whoever in Martin. That guy.
Yeah.
Because I was like, hey, that's the dude from Martin. And he was in Martin like a year or two after this, because I think Martin came out in 1975. So they were all kind of like, so he comes on like and makes an announcement at the beginning that pretty much everybody in this movie is, you know, volunteers, and that, you know, the Lutherans like paid for the shit and they wanted to talk about like some aspects of, it's kind of like talking, they're using the amusement park, which is a real amusement park, as sort of like a metaphor for life and like all of the shit that life throws at you. And then it's kind of like filtering that through the lens of once you get old, you know, you're not allowed to do shit anymore. Like you said, there's that one scene like we're in the bumper cars, but they're acting like it's really like it's real traffic. So there's like this old lady driving and then like her old husband is like in the bumper car with her. And then some young douche in front of them like makes an illegal turn and she hits him. But then the cop comes and then he acts like it's her fault because she's an old bat who doesn't know how shit works. And then, you know, and then the main guy comes over. He's like, no, I saw it. Like the douche in the front, like, you know, did something illegal. It wasn't her fault. But then he's like, aren't you supposed to wear glasses? You didn't see shit. You know, you see grandpa or whatever. So it's just kind of like showing the abuse that they go through all the time.
Yeah. Now, some of this shit's situational.
Yeah.
It was a lot of the stuff was of the 70s and from that era. Like, old people wrecked cars a lot back then. but 70s cars fucking sucked. The brakes sucked. Yeah. The steering sucked. The suspension was all over the place. They were fucking huge. A young person of today would have a hard time driving those old cars. You felt very insecure and unstable. It's like you were driving a fucking boat.
Yeah.
So, and they couldn't stop. They didn't have fucking, you know, power brakes. So, yeah.
No power steering.
No either. Power steering. Well, no, they had power steering.
Did they? I don't remember. Yeah, well, maybe just steering. The ones I learned didn't have power
steering. Yeah, they had power steering. Mostly they were luxury cars. It was kind of like, by today's standards, they would all be considered luxury cars. It would feel like you were driving around inside your living room. Like you're in your living room and you're driving your living room around. The fucking bitch seats went out, how big they were. You literally could have sex in those cars, like, easily.
You didn't have to cramp up or
and they did.
Or break the gear shift or anything. Yeah, like, not like I've been there, but yeah. You know.
And we did have sex in those cars. Take that bitch down to the hell yeah. Take that bitch down to the fucking drive-in, park in the back. You'd have that fucking car just bouncing. You'd look and see the other cars and go, oh man, Jason's in there getting it. Who's he with tonight? Your buddies would be in the front seat. You weren't even in each other's way.
Yeah, there your were buddy like and his huge girlfriend cars
being
back then.
Yeah, your buddy and his girlfriend would be in the front seat.
I mean, you
and
could fit like four or five people in the back seat, like, comfortably. Yeah.
It was fucking sex fest fucking 86, man. Fucking, yeah, this is just 87.
I laughed because, you know, on Mystery Science Theater, they do a lot of those old movies, and a lot of those big fucking giant cars, like from the 50s and stuff. Yeah. And they always make jokes about, like, fucking making boat noises when they're turning. Yeah. They're like, look, they're all standing up in that car because, like, the car is so fucking enormous. Yeah.
So a lot of the problems they were showing don't really exist anymore. They do, but not to the extent. Like, yeah. You have people in their 80s and 70s, some of them fucking driving these cars around quite competently. They're a lot smaller, better handling. You know what I mean? And as long as they're not doing anything crazy, an old person can drive here.
I mean, yeah, and the thing about it, too, is that, you know, and I'm not saying that, like, old people don't get shit on, because they do.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, I'm saying that some of the stuff, like you said, is situational. Because there was one thing in there where it was kind of had to do with the bumper car situation as well, where they were talking about, well, you shouldn't, you know, we're going to take your license away. And I know, like, a lot of people that, you know, old people are, like, freaking out because they lose their independence and stuff. But I will submit that if you're fucking blind.
Yeah, you shouldn't be driving.
You should not be driving, because there are actually other people on the road other than you.
Right.
So, you know, take the bus or get a ride or get Uber. It's much easier nowadays than it was back then.
There's been several instances where an old person has panicked and instead of slamming on the brakes, they slam on the damn accelerator and go right through a fucking crowd of people and kill a bunch of people.
Remember, the convenience store behind my grandmother's house, more than once, I think it was two or three times, an older person did exactly what you said and drove through the front of the store. Thankfully, nobody was hurt because they stopped. But, you know, it did happen more than once at that one convenience store.
They gotta, when you get to a certain age, they need to give these people fucking driving tests to make sure that they can neurologically handle it.
Yeah, and that's not being mean, or we're not being like, you know.
You don't let a child drive.
Right. We're not cracking down on, you know, you don't let blind people drive either. We're not just shitting on them because they're blind. It's like, you know, obviously they can't see to drive. You know, you shouldn't be driving.
Well, soon they're going to have them self-driving cars. It won't matter.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
You just get in a goddamn van and go to sleep. I hate it. Well, once you get to a certain age, you don't care about it anymore. I fucking grew up driving shit. I could drive well. I drive so well that fucking I don't give a shit. I could fucking sleep and drive at the same time.
Please don't do that.
It's not even fun, you know? It's not even fun like it was. I got to ride a motorcycle to have fun. So I wouldn't mind just, you know, getting in the back of the van, laying down, watching videos, drink on the way to the club.
And on the way back from the club. You don't have to worry about being tired or you're too fucked up to drive or anything like that.
You can take a long trip. You're just sleeping in the back of the van watching. You know, I don't want it to be a car. I'd want it to be like a van you could walk around in.
Well, yeah, because then
and
you could have like
a room and a television. Fucking go to sleep.
Because you'd want a sex den back there.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And you'd be like watching porn, man. And you know, fucking riding the rump. Fucking, we'll be there in about 8 hours. We'll be there in about 8 hours.
Have a popcorn machine back there, a little mini fridge.
Watching movies.
Like I said, I know some people are like all like freaking out about self-driving cars. Like, bring them on, man. As long as they work.
As long as they work good, yeah.
I mean, but it can't be that much worse than actual humans driving. Because have you seen humans drive? They're really not.
Depends
that
on
good.
Who it is.
They're really not that good at it in general. But yeah, so and there was another thing in the movie too where. Because, so, like I said, what the conceit of this movie is and why it kind of gave me a little bit of a weird, like, Black Mirror surrealist kind of vibe is that this, you know, the guy from Martin is, yeah, I think Louis said what his name was, but I can't remember what the actor's name was. But he's, like, dressed kind of like Colonel Sanders or whatever, with, like, this white suit on. And he goes into this totally white room with nothing in there but a bunch of other white chairs. And another version of him that looks all beat up and, like, fucked up and bloody and everything is sitting there. And he's trying to talk to the guy. And he's just like, no, I don't want to talk. I don't want to do this. And he's just like, well, don't you want to go outside? He's like, there's nothing out there worth doing or anything. And he's like, well, I'm going to go outside. So it's like it's almost like a purgatorial loop type of thing. But so there's this other part, too, that I was like, might play differently nowadays, but it should have played differently then. I don't know. But so 1973, they're trying to highlight that, you know, this guy, like the old guy, is lonely because everybody's just like, you know, like no one wants him around anymore. So he's like sitting on a bench eating some crackers with peanut butter like you do. And he has, there's these kids over there like jumping rope or whatever. And he's like, you know, beckoning them over. At which point I was just like, stranger danger. But you know what I mean? They were trying to show that he's like, he was just trying to be like a kindly old man. So the kids finally come over there. And then like a dude, probably rightfully so, was just like, hey, what are you, some kind of prevert or degenerate or whatever? I think he said degenerate. And I was like, well, yeah, that's what you would think. It's like, I don't want some old grandpa on a bench going, hey, come here, children. It's like, yeah, that's that doesn't end well. You know, so again, I don't think that's so much people picking on old people. That's just because we have the experience now of knowing that that's not a good situation. Like some random old man like sitting on a bench wanting your kids to come over there and hang out with them. That's not going to end the way you think it is.
They're talking about how bad the Florida drivers are because of the demographics. You know, they're talking about young people and old people. It's more than that, man. We'd be on this fucking I-4 and would have this fucking car tear ass past you and going through like this. And growing up in Brazil, I'm like, that's a Brazilian. We got a huge Brazilian population here. And and the way Brazilians just grow up driving, you talk about assholes. Assholes! It's a capital hole.
Well, they don't think that the laws apply to them.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about any of those. And everything in Brazil is a race. A traffic jam is a challenge to race. There's a damn traffic jam.
We're going to figure out how to get around this shit.
You can't get around that shit. And they will run right into it and try to get around a traffic jam somehow. And that traffic jam would be 10 miles deep and they're trying to get around it.
That would explain some of the...
Only in Brazil.
I mean,
it's Brazilian thinking.
I-4 is a horrifying... I mean, if I have to go anywhere that I have to... We don't have to get on I-4. You can go around it, but a lot of times it takes longer. I will just try to avoid it at all costs because I really, really hate going... I fucking hate that road.
The Brazilian standard driving mode is 40 miles above speed limit. Whatever speed limit is, they're going 40 miles above that. Speed limit here is about 70. But, you know, so they're going to be going 120. Going... Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
We've had them just pass. I'll be going 80, and they'll just pass you. And then they'll try to fucking weave in through all these damn cars. And it's piling up in a traffic jam, and there's not even an on-ramp.
Where the fuck do you think you're going?
Where the fuck you going? There's not even an off-ramp.
What are you
going
to go drive in the fucking grass?
I got to get in front of all these people.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah, Brazil's like that 24/7.
We have to drive on it tonight, too.
Yeah.
Because we're going to Memento.
Yeah.
Sleazy Bees asked me, Jenny, do you still see that cat on the walking trail? I do. I didn't see him today. I saw him, last time I saw him was Thursday. And actually, the last time I saw him, he was actually looking real good. Like, it looks like, because remember I said he seemed kind of skinny, and he had all those mats in his hair. And I said somebody had cut the mats out. And I'd kind of got a grooming glove and I'd groomed him. But it looks like somebody had been kind of grooming him. So it looks like some of the hair grew back. And he actually seems like he's gained a little bit of weight. Like now you pet him and you can't really feel the ribs anymore because you used to be able to feel the ribs. So when I saw him on Thursday, like he came over because I hadn't seen him in a while because I'd been on vacation. And he came running up like, me. And I was like, well, hey, dude. And he was like, I was like, man, you're looking good. And he just like sat there and let me pet him and shit like that. But yeah, he was looking really good. But I haven't seen him since Thursday, but he's around, I guess. Like nobody said, because there's other people on the path too that see him, and nobody told me that, you know, that anything bad had happened, so I'm assuming that they had seen him as well. And there was a bowl of food there this morning. It's just he wasn't out. But yeah, so this movie, it's only 53 minutes. So it's not like, it's still a movie, and I would even sort of call it a horror movie.
Yeah.
So, because it's like
something out of Black Mirror or something.
Yeah, it's like this kind of surreal, like nightmarish kind of, but it also has that weird PSA thing too, because they are, I mean, very obviously trying to make a point. So it's just kind of like all these different like situations going like, hey, doesn't it suck that, you know, old people don't have enough money to live on? And hey, doesn't it suck that, you know, nobody cares about old people, or nobody wants to hang out with them, or, you know, or they can't do this, that, and the other thing. So it's kind of all structured like that. But because it's George Romero, it still kind of comes off like a horror movie, even though I'm not sure if that's what he intended. But I guess what ended up happening was that when he showed the movie to the Lutherans, which cracked me up because it made me think of like Ed Wood making fucking Plan 9 from Outer Space, like with the money from the Baptists, and him being like, these Baptists are stupid, stupid, stupid. But it reminded me of that. So I wondered if like George Romero was like, these Lutherans are stupid. So that's what I thought. But so I guess the Lutherans saw it and were like, yeah, we can't show this because like, why'd you make it like a horror movie? I'm like, why'd you hire George Romero? Because duh. You know what I mean? He made Night of the Living Dead for fuck's sake. What'd you think he was going to do? But, so they were like, yeah, we can't show this. And so I guess they just stashed it away somewhere. Or he stashed it away somewhere and nobody knew, like, I guess everybody just thought it got lost or destroyed or whatever. And so then I guess, a year or two ago, somebody found it and realize what it was, and then they had like, you know, the George Romero Foundation, which I guess they have that now, and I love the logo. It's like his glasses, you know, he has those really iconic like big thick fucking glasses that he always wore with like blood splattered on them. That's the fucking logo, which I loved it. But so they kind of paid to have the movie restored, and then I don't know if they're going to release it on Blu-ray or anything like that, but I just saw it turn up on Shudder and I'm like, what the fuck is that? I was like, I take a look at that. So I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't really read the description. All I saw was lost George Romero film from 1973, and I was like, okay, whatever. So I decided to check it out. So don't go into it thinking it's like a narrative type movie, because it's not exactly, but I don't know. It's real weird. And if you're really into George Romero, it's like a really interesting kind of time capsule of the time period. Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's like you said, it's kind of a downer, though.
Yeah, it's a downer.
I mean, because it's like, especially if you're getting on in years like we are, and just like, you know, yeah, that's all this shit you got to look forward to.
Yeah, like everyone's... that's it. You get old, and then shit sucks, and then you die. Damn. It's like something. It's like something out of Twilight Zone, but it's kind of like a mean-spirited Twilight Zone. Doesn't have a happy end, and you're like, then you die.
Well, worse than that because, like I said, it's like an endless loop.
Yeah, it's like
because
a time
he
loop.
Keeps coming back into that plain white room with the other beat up version of himself, and the beat up version of himself who's been through all this shit is trying to tell the clean version of himself, "Hey, don't go out there." But he's like, "No, I'm going anyway." So like every single time he goes back out.
I think
out
what
there.
It's supposed to symbolize is that it was generations of old people reaching old age over and over again.
That's exactly
all old people are like that.
That's exactly
time.
What it was.
And eventually, you're going to be there.
And you keep trying to tell people like when.
You're
going
to be there.
Like you tell young people, it's like, you know, I've been through this, and it's like,
you're
you know,
like, ah,
you're
fuck
like, yeah, fuck you. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm different.
Like, no, it's that same group of people always fucking going through that shit over and over again. Eventually, you go in there.
Yeah.
That is kind of a horror movie. But thing is that things have changed a lot since the 70s.
Yeah.
Old age has changed a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really
Internet
like,
and social media have changed the lives of old people. And everything's changing for the better. New drugs and hormone therapies and fucking all kinds of stuff changed the life. Okay, for instance, I'm only a little bit younger than those people they were calling old people, but you look at them, they go, yeah, they were fucking old.
Well, they're all like toddling around on the walkers and shit like that.
The lives that they lived, the diets that they had, what their jobs were like, the chemicals and shit they were exposed to, fucking the lack of fucking anti-aging medicines and shit. Everything is an anti-aging medicine. You just don't realize it. Brushing your teeth is anti-aging.
Well, they didn't really know a lot about...
No.
Even about, like, health and fitness and diet and shit like that.
No.
They didn't really know what we know now.
They were kind of semi-sedentary, sitting around, working themselves to death in offices or working themselves to death standing still in a damn factory. Very kind of almost third world, like something you see out of China. And they lived very fast, hard, and they died kind of young. And then when they didn't die young... They looked a lot older than they were when they died. you know.
I noticed, like, even younger people back then looked older than they do nowadays.
We're talking about people that were in dying mode in when I was a little boy, when I was three. This is 1973. I was only 3 or 4 years
old. Yeah, like our grandparents' age.
Grandparents'
age. Not even my parents.
Not even parents' age. They didn't live that long, and the quality of their life wasn't that good. They were considered to be the greatest generation. They got a lot of shit done, but at their own expense. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
a lot of them didn't live outside their teens. They were killed in the damn World War.
Yeah, that's true.
Fucking, yeah, a lot of them, especially the European ones. Europe took fucking heavy hits. I mean, fucking, by the end of World War II, Germany looked like the surface of the moon. A lot of people don't realize that. I mean, it was literally bombed to shit.
Yep.
Just bomb craters everywhere. Little kids and fucking dead people.
Yep. Yeah. Scott says, Scott said, do you get tired of explaining that the world existed before 1990?
Yeah. Man, there are people that are old enough walking around that have no idea what a world was like before internet. It's astounding.
Well, and those people are now adults and have kids of their own, which is crazy.
And they're having jobs and they're producing stuff. And you're like,
I mean, it's not their fault. They can't, they can't help when they were born.
Right. It's just they don't realize how much of a change. They'll go back and critique something that was happening in the 80s or the 90s, and they don't realize how different it actually was, what life was like. Shopping was totally different back then. Access to music and media, totally different. Everything was physical medium.
Well, yeah.
Records and albums and CDs.
Well, it's funny because I was thinking about this because I was talking about on one of my movie reviews that I recorded earlier. And I was talking about the Stephen King book, Dance Macabre, which is, you know, his nonfiction book where he talks about horror. I was like, when he wrote that in the early 1980s, and he was talking about horror, like movies and stuff like that from 1950 to 1980. And I said, you have to remember that when he wrote that book, you couldn't go back and watch those movies.
Yeah.
He was writing about them from his memory of them.
Yeah.
And sometimes he got it wrong, because you couldn't check.
Yeah.
Pretty much. There was no internet. You couldn't just go back and watch it anytime you wanted to. He just had to go by his memory of it. And some of the movies he saw when he was a kid, and he didn't get some of the details right.
Flow of information was totally different. You had no way of checking what somebody else was doing. If they were working on the same problem you were working on, like something maybe having to do with guns or engines or motors, you couldn't check his work over there. You couldn't see it. You didn't know who else in the world was working on the same problem you were working on. Now, a group of guys can go on the internet and through YouTube and trade damn YouTube videos about how to fucking fix something. That didn't happen back in the day.
Well, yeah, it's like easy. Yeah. You don't even think about it.
You don't even think about it.
It's like they could be on the other side of the planet and you're just like, hey, I'm working the same shit as you. And you can like talk to them in real time. And it's like crazy.
You can go back and see somebody working on that same problem 12 years ago. And you go, oh, okay, yeah, and see how he did it. That's a huge boost to people's abilities. I could go back. I can go on the internet and find out medical information and medical knowledge. Back in the day, dudes just had to guess or go to a doctor. Now you can access the same info that the doctor has if you know how to search for it. Just amazing. Amazing abilities of amazing flow of information. Undreamed of. I would have never imagined it.
Well, it's weird because, I mean, it doesn't seem that weird to me. I guess because we were around
when it happened.
So to us, it was like an incremental.
Yeah, but at the time it was a coming in the 90s, I didn't realize what the ultimate impact would be.
Yeah. I don't think anybody did.
No,
I don't think anybody
The first thing that really struck me in the 90s is that I could order clothes online. And that blew my fucking mind. I was back in the late 90s, I was in Mississippi on the Gulf Coast. Buying goth clothes online with a credit card. It was actually an ATM card, wasn't a credit card. An ATM card. When that was like, damn, this is like something out of goddamn The Running Man. Or a fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger science fiction movie. And I was like, you don't have to physically be in a location to shop. And then I looked at the mall and I said, what's that? Why? That's not going to exist. I was thinking that in the 90s. Those are going to go obsolete. Everybody's just going to do this eventually. But you were like an elite few people online shopping. Wow.
I mean, they've always had like mail order stuff.
Yeah,
like,
ever
since like, you know, the late 19th century, I think.
But
that
online
first started.
Shopping, man. But yeah, fucking, you know, I knew that was going to have a serious impact. It eventually did. It was the death of the shopping mall.
Do you remember that, like, I remember when there were no such things as ATM cards.
Yeah. Because
there were credit cards for a long time before they actually figured out, hey, let's do a debit card.
Yeah.
Because I remember when debit cards came out, because I didn't have one for a
had
long
an ATM,
time.
I had an ATM card, I think it was in 1988.
I can't remember when I got my
first one.
But
we just called them bank cards.
I think I didn't get one until the 90s.
It was a bank card. It wasn't an ATM card. You could use the card to access an ATM machine and get cash.
Yeah.
Eventually, you didn't have to get the cash. You could swipe the card at the register, and that's really the beginning of the bank card. And I think that was, what, 90-something?
I feel like it was probably the 90s.
96, maybe? 97? Yeah. It kind of happened slowly.
But I just remember. I remember people having credit cards, but I don't remember ATM cards until, like, the 90s.
Yeah, I was doing that shit, and I was going, what's cash for? You know what? You know, and slowly cash. Now I realize I haven't really touched cash to speak of in over 10 years.
Not really. The only the only thing I need cash for is, like, to pay the parking guy when we go downtown.
You don't even need that. He's got a fucking thing. You can swipe it.
Well, he didn't used to.
But they
do now. So I always have, because I don't ever know where we're going to end up parking, and some of them have that and some of them don't. So I usually carry like $5 or $10 in cash just in case, you know, that I get out of the ATM just in case, like, we have to park somewhere that's cash only. Yeah. But yeah. Fourth Round said I got my first ATM card in 1990.
Yeah, I'm just talking about standing in line to buy tickets for Van Halen.
I remember, I remember going, like, I was buying tickets for, I guess it was Depeche Mode or something like that, and I had to, like, wait a really long time. I got there at, like, 3 in the morning and waited in front of the fucking shit.
And then these people don't even remember, a lot of these kids have no idea that there was such a thing called long-distance telephone charges. Remember that shit? Is that a long-distance call?
I can't afford it.
It's long distance, yeah.
Then you'd get the phone bill, and your dad would be like, who are you calling? It's like $200.
Yeah. They charge you an arm and a leg for that shit. Ridiculous.
I know, right?
And then sometime in the 90s, somebody called me over my phone, and they were on a laptop. Not a laptop. They were on a PC.
Yeah.
They had a program to circumvent it, and it would call your phone.
Yeah, I feel they had a lot of those kind of late night TV commercials, and they were always trying to get something to kind of work around the long distance charges, like a thing you could plug into your wall and shit.
Yeah,
like that.
It was weird. It didn't last long. They went obsolete real fast. But you know, the guys on the cutting edge could just call you over their PC.
And they probably were like, "I'm like a hacker, mother."
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. It's some hacking shit, man. Yeah.
Little did they know it looks so fucking crude by today's standards.
Yeah, by today's standards.
But I mean, because everything happened so quickly.
Around long distance charges.
Yeah. So, like you said, I was like, but I found this movie really interesting because you could see, I mean, some of the stuff hasn't really changed, but you can really see how aging is even different
nowadays
than it was back in the 1970s.
Yeah.
You know, some of the stuff that they bring up in there is obviously still relevant, but, you know, even I pick on old people sometimes.
Yeah, they're talking about our grandparents' generation. That's what that's who they're showing in this. And our grandparents' generation could have never imagined, say, a woman like Dolly Parton. In her mid-70s, it looks great.
That looks pretty much the same as she did when I was a kid.
Big old rock hard boobs up around the chin and shit. Tacky. Kind of sexy. Same thing with Cher, you know what I mean?
But she owns the tackiness.
She owns that. She tells you that it's tacky.
Yeah, that's she loves that kind of shit. That's like her whole aesthetic.
Yeah.
She seems like a lovely person. So.
Yeah. My grandparents' generation. Actually, that wasn't even grandparents' generation because in 73, my grandparents weren't that old. It would have been great-grandparents probably almost.
Maybe. Well, I was born in 72, and my parents were only 18 in 1972. So
that generation, great-grandparents' generation, because they were in their 80s in the 73. In 73, these people that they're showing are supposed to be in their 80s, I think, and then in the 70s, getting ready to die. My grandparents weren't that old in the 70s. They were younger than that. They think they would have been around their 60s, probably.
So yeah, I'm sure it's in the 70s. I think my grandparents were only in their 50s.
50s or 60s, right, yeah. So
they didn't seem that
old. So
they
were even older than that. So really, that generation, if they'd see somebody like Dolly Parton, that would have been like an alien from another planet. They just didn't have people that looked like that. They didn't have people that healthy at that age.
Yeah, I mean, once you got into like your mid-50s, you
were
started
done.
Kind of falling apart.
Yeah, you were done.
You looked like the portrait, the picture of Dorian Gray. Like the picture, not the actual guy.
Very few people aged well.
Yeah. Sleazy B says, I remember in the 80s just calling the next town over was long distance. Yeah, it was. You could only call locally.
Only in your neighborhood.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, only like in your town. Yeah, next town over. That was, yeah, because I grew up in Daytona. If you called Deltona, which is like 20 miles away, that was the long distance.
Yep.
All right, so you ready to wrap it up?
Yeah, we can wrap it up.
All right. I mean, we've been going more than half an hour.
Yeah, and I got to check the mail.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, yeah, so it's Monday, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so tomorrow, we'll probably do a food show tomorrow, like an on the menu, because we're going out tonight.
Yeah, we're going to be wore out.
And we're going to be wore out, and we're not going to have a chance to watch another movie. So we'll probably talk about food tomorrow. I don't know what
I'll come up with something.
We'll come up with something. But yeah, we will be back tomorrow, probably kind of tired, but we'll try to power through it. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, as always. And thanks, everybody, for dropping by. Have a good rest of your Monday, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.